It's a very interesting ethical dilemma.
What's an ethical?
Well, on one hand, Tommy,
yeah,
the people who did this the right way are normal, everyday, small business owners.
Good people.
Yeah, they paid a fortune. They jumped through hoops. They waited for the right to do this legally.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be rewarded for what they did.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there is an argument being made that you are crushing people also trying to make a living with something that is legal now in the state of New York. So now that we've had experience with this and we have these new numbers in front of us, should we keep it the way that it is?
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Over the weekend, the state of New York issued their Cannabis Management Issues Enforcement Report.
Damn.
And in this report, Tommy, we find out about shops selling marijuana illegally getting shut down. Are you ready for this?
What do we got?
The state says from October of 2023 until this past November, they padlocked around 350 stores.
Wait, 350 in the... Wait, Monroe County?
No. Statewide.
Oh, statewide.
Selling marijuana illegally. But that's still a lot of stores statewide.
Yeah,
are you surprised by that number statewide?
No, because we've talked
about... It's a lot of stores. It is. Are you surprised? No.
Well, no, but think of how many we've talked about that have been shut down here or just like in Greece alone,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
But I figured you would have told me 100, like 10 in every community.
Yeah, that
you
sounds
know.
About right.
Okay, right, okay. So
keep
in mind, that's just illegal shops, and those are the ones they knew about.
That's a shingle.
Yeah,
you got
a regular store.
Yeah. Now, that may not be the most surprising number.
What else you got?
The state says they seized over $67 million worth of illicit cannabis products from these businesses.
So that's like gummies, everything?
7,000 pounds of flour, 608 pounds of concentrate, and over 9,100 edibles.
Candies.
Yeah.
All right.
Or whatever.
9,100?
9,100.
Right.
So I guess that's got to be packages.
That's like a warehouse of like fun.
$67 million just from the illegal shops they padlocked. And the state claims.
You kind of get why they're doing it.
Well.
But you want to sell. Look at the money that's sitting there.
100%. But all the people that had this don't have it anymore. That money disappears. You paid for that product. It's gone. And the state claims that their enforcement is helping out licensed dispensaries.
Okay, shutting them down.
Well, they say following an enforcement action in New York City over a 10-week period, legal dispensaries saw a 72% increase in business over that 10-week period.
So they got their customers.
Yes, and they got an extra $2.6 million in additional revenue. Okay. So keep in mind, state numbers, they have a reason to put this stuff out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line the state is trying to make, there are still lots of illegal dispensaries. They still carry a lot of products, and they are really hurting legal places.
So that's just what you see on a storefront, not all the underground stuff, like people's houses.
I mean, you make it sound
street-level drug.
You make it sound so much more nefarious, underground, street-level drug dealing.
You know what I mean.
A guy that sells pot.
No, but he's got a growing operation in his basement.
Sure.
You got street dealers. So how many of those guys are still working?
It would be impossible to figure it out.
I don't know.
How would you know?
You would. Yeah, you're right.
Because they just blend into the night in their underground drug trade.
You had to drive around and see who has their lights on in their basement at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because that's what my wife bases all the drug operations in our neighborhood.
You do the same thing. You try to blame your wife. And you're, ooh, what do you mean? Tell
you
me more.
You come in here
that's
with all the gossip.
Pot going on in that basement or a Peloton. Something ain't right.
Or Potaton.
Potaton.
All right, the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're now at a point where legal marijuana in New York State is a normal thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? We're all accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. We've dealt with the yeses and nos and all that stuff.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Are people okay with the state coming down hard on unlicensed dispensaries? Because there are two contrasting arguments that have broken out against each other.
Yeah.
Ones that are for shutting down the illegal marijuana dealers. They say the owners of the legal dispensaries have spent a ton of money and time to do the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
They waited a long time to get this up and running as the state figured it out. That cost them money, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they are normal, everyday, small business owners because keep in mind, New York State did not let the out-of-state weed conglomerates come in and sell. So these are your neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. Their argument is if you don't shut down these illegal shops, you are taking money out of the pocket of everyday New Yorkers. Bad.
Yeah.
But folks against the crackdown are arguing that state-sanctioned marijuana, because keep in mind, from seed until sale, it is all controlled by the state. They know where it comes from. They know who grows it. They know who grew it. Yeah, okay, all that stuff. They're saying that state-sanctioned weed is artificially driving up the price of marijuana. They say that unlicensed places are much cheaper, and I don't know.
Because they're not paying any overhead.
Or tax.
Right. They don't, or the licensing fees. All that stuff.
They argue that the state is destroying small businesses that are just trying to make a buck with a product that is legal to sell, and they claim the state is overstepping its boundaries by requiring so much regulation to sell marijuana. Tommy, I ask you this, as you look very professional in two sweaters for some reason.
Yeah.
Do the folks arguing for unlicensed dispensaries make any points?
No, because it's the same way with alcohol. I can't just start making alcohol in my bathtub and open up a bar and sell it to people and say that's a legitimate business.
Okay, fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough.
Like, same thing with cigarettes. I mean, it's all tracked and licensed. So people pay all these fees to have a business. You over here ain't doing squat. It's killing me.
But I think, so I've also heard this argument too with the marijuana and the cigarettes and stuff like that, right? You can just grow a plant, clip buds, and sell marijuana, right? It's from the ground into a bag, out the front. Alcohol, there's a process.
Yes, there is.
Cigarettes, there's a process, right? Like, and I get it. I get the regulation, and I'm not arguing for the illegal dispensaries. I just find it interesting that people now have turned back around and said, wait a minute, why are we stopping these people from selling?
Well, because then you're killing the thing that you've been trying to get. Which legalized pot.
Okay.
You know?
You think the regulations have to exist for the legality of weed to work?
Especially if something bad happens and people get sick, something happens, and it's not licensed, you don't know what happened.
Okay.
I mean, how do you hold their feet to the fire?
Okay, great question. That's a great question. Right? Great point. But what if people don't care?
I mean, even the guys that sell you tomatoes at the farmer's market, he's a grower. He's licensed. He has to pay for a stall and operate. You know what I mean?
Question.
Yeah.
I have to be a licensed tomato grower to sell tomatoes?
Well, if you're a farmer, you've got licenses and fees and things you pay to grow.
You do?
I would think so. Anytime you sell food.
If you're
right?
a professional, if you're a farmer, and that's how you make your living, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you get subsidized from the government.
Man.
I mean, you pay taxes. I mean.
It's funny, the more professional outfit he wears, the more serious he tries to make arguments. No, I didn't say you sounded
smart. I wish I had my driving gloves. But you know what I mean? Like, all these guys, I mean, it's just not the Wild West.
Okay, no, look, I am on your side.
And all these people could have signed up and went legit.
Well, so here's the thing. Maybe not necessarily. That's another argument, is the state and their licenses. I mean, there's a limited amount.
Same thing with liquor licenses and everything else, right?
Okay, and you know only the finest of those men and women get liquor licenses.
Only the top guys that I know of.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Over the weekend, the state put out numbers talking about in the last year how many illegal marijuana dealerships they have shut down in 1 year. They say they collected $67 million worth of illicit cannabis products from 350 shops they padlocked selling illegally. There's a lot out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still trying to operate. You know, you bring up another good, going back to the thing you said before.
What's that?
About the, how many of these street level, underground weed maniacs are still dealing. By the way, quick sidebar. Mm. Driving to the stadium yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, we always have that joke, the devil's lettuce?
Mm.
There is a dispensary in Buffalo called the devil's lettuce.
What a great idea.
Hey, they stole our idea, man. But these illegal places that are getting popped, they're straight up businesses with storefronts.
Yes.
Right.
Some have been smoke shops. Some have been bodegas and gas stations that are dealing on the side. Some have just been, Kimmy, wide open. They're selling weed.
Yeah. For a while, until they really started to crack down.
If you didn't want to get caught, why not do it the old-fashioned way of just selling it out of your house or dropping it off to the people that are buying? Mm-hmm. I'm not here to encourage crime, but...
But go underground.
Stop street calling it underground.
Street-level narcotics.
It's not underground. Like, you know, my buddy Frank, he's got a plan. He's going to sell me something.
Yeah, sell it out of the trunk of your car, out of your house, whatever.
Is there no money in that anymore? 252-WCMF?
Yeah, I mean, you're shrinking your customer pool, right? Because not everybody's going to want to buy it out of the back of a trunk when they don't have to do it the sketchy way.
But I mean,
I think there's something to walking into a store, whether it's legal or not. You feel a little bit more legit as a buyer.
Okay.
And walking into a store and buying it versus like, hey, come around back. I got some in my trunk.
Okay. We all bought it.
Yeah, but that's what's weird about it to me. And maybe I'm wrong because I was, you know, I was never a big pocket.
Yeah.
Right. Booze guy, not a pocket. Mm-hmm. Having, when I was a kid, gotten weed that way,
yeah,
Because it's now I'm a grown-ass man. I don't have to worry about my dad finding out. Like, I don't think it would bother me. Like, you're someone who has bought out of the trunks of cars, Kimmy.
You know she did.
Well, no, but
and
even
someone
still,
who bought
like
from a dispensary.
But you're also, maybe it's just because I'm a woman, I'm not probably going to a stranger for that. I'm probably going to somebody who I've had a connection with for a long time.
Understood.
I don't know. I don't know how many random people are looking. Like I said, I don't know how many new customers you're getting doing it that way. Again, when there's so many other ways to get it now.
I don't know. It just seems to me, because we've been screaming for the last year and a half, 2 years. Shut down. Mm-hmm. Like, if you own one of these places and it's selling illegally.
Right. I would think, like,
shut it down.
If you got lucky enough to stay open to this point, like, I'm sure you made a ton of money it. So why not just, like, call it quits? Yeah. Like, take what you made and move on kind of thing before they come and take it from you.
Greed is what kills you.
Because I'm wondering, like, too, like, let's say you have a storefront and you're selling illegal. Mm-hmm. And what did you do with all the cash? Like, how do you show that on the books? Is it off the books?
They're selling illegal marijuana, and you're asking how they're doing their
taxes. No, but like, how do you justify? Because like, you're gonna get flagged.
I don't know, because you could pay for it with a credit card.
Right, but that flags
you. Right.
It would have to be a pure cash business, or like you'd have to explain it, or you have to have two sets of books.
It's a good question. I mean, look, the IRS does leave a section when you're filling out your taxes asking you to pay taxes on drugs, illegal items you've sold in the last 12 months. So it's a good question. I don't know. We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the break of Facebook page. Someone is taking issue with a point you tried to make.
What'd I say?
Double sweater. Sweater squared. Brian writes, you were talking about, you know, if I'm someone who sells tomatoes, I have to be licensed and
Okay, if you go to a farmer's market, those people pay for those stalls.
Brian says, if I drive through Wayne County, there are people that just grow things for fun that will sell them out of stands on their front step. Those people don't need a license and they don't pay taxes on it. That's what I would like to see. Let me grow a plant and sell it out of a shack on my front yard. Full operations with stores, no, but that should be legal.
Yeah, so fresh eggs and weed. Okay.
But I'm guessing the buyers for that are already doing that themselves.
And most of those guys aren't getting rich.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you're selling.
Or screwing the balance of the food chain.
As far as...
Yeah, money.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you're not hurting Wegmans, right? Because you've got a fruit stand in Wayne County where you got tomatoes and zucchini.
Well, no, but that is an interesting question. Not to go off on a tangent here.
Could you sell it on the side of the road?
No. Like, messing up grocery stores. You know, there are fewer grocery stores, obviously, out in the sticks.
Yeah.
Because there are fewer people.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to know if country grocery stores sell fewer vegetables because of those stands. And if so, how much?
It would only be for a short period of a year.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit.
Does it affect their bottom line?
Maybe.
Because, I mean, if you're driving down 104, you could stop at 10 of those places in a 5-mile radius.
Oh, man. Load up on zucchini.
And corn and all that good stuff. Like, I wonder how much it hurts Tops in those supermarkets out there in Ontario.
Mm.
You know, look, I'm with you.
Yeah.
It is hard to argue against the people who did this the right way.
Yeah, they were patient, which I ain't.
Yeah, and look, because if the state backed off and let whomever wanted to sell, those people would be so screwed.
Oh, yeah.
They would be so screwed. They're offering a service. You know exactly what you're getting from them, like you said. If safety is something you're worried about, as Kimmy brought up, they know exactly where everything came from. It's a legitimate
store.
They
can track it, yeah.
I mean, it's funny now. We're at the point. It's no different than a local florist or a mom-and-pop grocery store.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much.
Like, these people are your neighbors. Yeah. The money stays in.
And, I mean, I would argue with, like, a lot of those, in my experience, the illegal shops that were open for a while, I think the product varied a lot. Whereas the legal stores, like, you know what you're getting. It's very measured.
Oh, you mean the potency of the product?
Well, yeah, and just like the labels, I think, are more accurate than some of the stuff you may have been getting at the illegal places.
Okay. Because like you and I, for those who don't know, again, we're talking about this report that was put out over the weekend from the state of New York. They say they shut down 350 illegal marijuana shops statewide in a 12-month period up to last November, up to the past November. $67 million worth of illicit cannabis products, almost 7,000 pounds of flour, 600 pounds of concentrate, and over 9,100 edibles. We are not marijuana people because we're scared.
Yes.
Kimmy, a couple Christmases ago, when it became legal, got us edibles.
Yeah, the gummies, right?
Yep, and she gave us each a bag, and we were like, oh, cool. We're trying to be all cool. Hey, man, we're going to do the drugs. We're going to go underground with the drugs, man. And we went off our separate ways for Christmas break. Yeah. We came back. And both of us, we didn't do it because we got scared.
Does it? Because she scared me.
I didn't see. How did I scare you?
You said, like.
I was just saying.
You showed me, like, one gummy. You say, like, cut it in four.
Yeah.
That scared the hell out of me.
Well, no, just to be safe. I was trying to prepare you. Do it slowly. That's all I was saying.
But we've heard stories.
Don't take the whole thing at once.
It's hard for Tommy not to do.
Yeah.
We've heard over and over and over again, Kimmy, when we open the phones.
Yeah.
These stories of these people that had gotten out of the game for decades.
Yeah.
Got back in with edibles.
Over their head.
And had the worst experience of
the world. They're saying the weed is so much stronger today than what I experienced in the 1970s.
Yes, yes. I mean, everything's always bigger, faster, stronger.
Oh, yeah.
But I am curious, like, those people that have had that experience, mm-hmm. are those from homemade things that their friends made? Mm-hmm. Was that from one of these illegal dispensaries with the label products? Like, of the bad experiences people have had, what percentage is from the legal state dispensaries? Because you do have people, if you want to ask questions, that can walk you through that stuff. And I say this secondhand. I haven't personally experienced it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But this stuff now can knock you on your ass.
Oh, I mean, like, but if you, that's the good thing, too, about going to the legal places is they'll ask you if you have questions. Like, they'll say, are you experienced in this? Like, are you looking for help? Are
so
you
there's
a beginner
levels.
Here?
They'll it's like point salsas.
You, they will point you in the right direction, put it that way.
Major league umpire marijuana.
Yeah, mild, medium.
Because I guess.
Caliente.
It's kind of. You know, you walk in there, and if you don't know what you want or what you need, it's nice to have somebody walk you through it all.
I wonder where people's egos are when they walk through those places. Because, like,
they think, you know, I've done this my whole life. I know what I'm looking for.
So it could be the arrogance there.
Yeah.
It could also be the fear of looking stupid. Because, like, if I was going to try this again, I would have no problem asking.
Yeah.
I understand I'm in over my head. But if you have a guy that's, Tommy, in his 50s or 60s.
Oh.
Used to burn all the time, took time off because he raised kids, whatever. Is that guy asking questions?
No.
He's no?
a know-it-all.
No, that guy's a 50-year-old already grown guy, it in his backyard.
Okay.
Yeah, a 50-year-old guy with an Oak Hill hat is a know-it-all.
You think get a lot of Oak Hill hats walking through the legal dispensary?
Everybody's got an Oak Hill hat. Doesn't mean you went to Oak Hill.
Okay. Well, where'd you get it from?
You know, the Ryder Cup crap and all that.
At Oak Hill.
Remember when you could shop at Oak Hill but you couldn't stay?
Yes, I do remember, yeah.
Thank you. Get out.
Get out right now. Get out of my face. This is nightmare fuel for most people.
Oh.
Like, wake up from dreaming about this, and thank God you're not in elementary school anymore. So with that being said, why the hell would anyone, as a grown-ass adult, agree to be part of this pressure cooker? Because if you are interested, one local group is looking for the best adult spellers in the area.
For what?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. All right. If you had to rank the worst situations to be put in when you were in, like, elementary and middle school, swimming day is up there for a lot of folks, right? Finals, SATs, a big test
testing,
is up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the granddaddy of them all, the spelling bee.
Yeah, it's called basically shaming.
Public shaming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And humiliation.
You're eliminated one by one. Your whole class is ranked.
Sit down.
One by one.
It really gave your teachers an opportunity to point out the stupidest kids in the room.
And it's just humiliation.
And you're 100% right. Do they still do kids spell other than
what the worst thing was, too? And I remember this had to be like fourth or fifth grade. They'd do the full class spelling bee.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day, you'd be put at a table. And, like, you knew where you were based on other kids at your table, at your group.
Well, because, like, here's the thing. When it comes to, like, a school spelling bee, if you allowed kids to sign up for it, totally fine.
Yeah.
Right? But you're right.
Everybody had to participate.
We would have mandatory class spelling bees in front of anybody. But here's the thing, Tom.
Yeah.
Right? You got through that. You grew up and you never had to worry about it again.
All done.
Until now.
What is it?
The Literacy Volunteers of Ontario County are looking for grown-ass people to participate in their annual spelling bee.
So these are people that are going to eventually volunteer to help people with learning disabilities?
No.
Based on that title.
The Literacy Volunteers of Ontario, it's a fundraiser. So people pay to be a part of this to raise money. And they actually say it's their most popular annual fundraiser. They've done this for years.
So just people, you put money in.
Yes.
And you come and participate, you're in.
See where you rank.
Do you bring your family to watch you? Suck.
All right. So the phone number is 252-WCMF. Is there anybody that has participated in this?
Listening to this show that can spell?
No, people call and correct us all the time. What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
but it's also bad information.
Are either of you interested in the adult spelling?
Yeah, I'm signing up. I always love when my wife goes, how do you spell something? I just bust out laughing.
I'm with you, man.
Who are you calling, man?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Like we said, it's their most popular fundraiser. So people do it, and they've had it for 23 years.
Damn.
23 years. So there are enough people.
Spellers.
As grown-ass people that want to show off their spelling prowess that they continue to do this every year.
So I wonder, though, is it the same people that keep coming back that know that they're good at it?
Of course.
You know?
And the smug asses?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You think someone that knows how to spell is smug?
Oh, yeah. Especially if they point it out.
The grammar cops?
Yes.
No, grammar and spelling are not
they're
the same
person.
No, they're not.
It's
they're
the all same person. The same group. It's the same person.
She's right.
No, she's not right.
Yes.
Spellers suck when they point it out.
Spellers suck. Where would you be spelling something where someone could point out it's wrong? You don't write. You don't take care of your kids. No, think about it. We're in a situation now, unless it's like an email, I guess social media, where people are like, oh, actually.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. But you didn't come up with that.
No, I did not.
Stupid. Can't even spell it.
Well, I think what's even worse about misspelling something on social media is that usually your phone or computer autocorrects, you know? So, like, it's pretty bad if, like, you're spelling it so bad that even your phone has no idea what you're trying to spell.
But sometimes it's like, you know, there. Which there am I supposed to use there?
Well, that's easy.
Which your am I using?
That's also, I mean, that's not
hard.
Did
you see what you're doing? That's easy. That's easy.
It's not.
No, it's not easy.
That's the easy one.
Why, we need one your and one there. We don't need four of them.
No, but it means different things.
No, it don't. But you know what I mean.
No, I don't, because you don't. You're not using the right one.
There, and there. It's there.
Gibby, to your point, on a daily basis, I will spell something so wrong. My phone does not know what
it is. Your phone just gives up on you. It just lets you start spelling it that way.
Which is bad because I can use it in a spell check.
Right?
Yeah, well.
I just leave it.
It will it'll redline it a bunch. If you don't correct it, it'll just let you spell it poorly.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with.
252 WCMF. Again, we're talking about the Literacy Volunteers of Ontario County. They're looking for grown-ass people to participate in their annual spelling bee. And they say they've done this 23 years. It's the biggest fundraiser of the year for them. So that means there's grown-ass people that want to participate in the nightmare that is a spelling bee. All right. First question.
Yeah.
Would a good adult speller impress you?
No, it pisses me off. I guess I'm impressed. I guess I feel shameful. So, yes, I guess I am impressed, but I process it as you suck.
Okay, gotcha. Typical male feelings. Kimmy?
Yeah.
Does a grown-ass good speller impress you?
I'm kind of impressed. It's not an easy thing to do. I'm impressed, but I don't want to be around you because I feel like you're going to think I'm stupid at all times.
Well, but here's the thing. If your spouse was a good speller, it would definitely come in handy because, like you said,
I got spell check. Good enough.
No, but you don't because you've sent me plenty of stuff with wrong spelling, even with spelling.
Yeah, but you know what I meant. Go ahead.
No, but you said it yourself. Like, you will have those moments where you shout out to your partner, hey, how do you spell blah?
Yeah.
Right? Your wife, you just said it. You did it. So having that partner that knows how to spell comes in handy.
So every time I go see your wife and she's doing, you know, my skin, there's a woman in a room and she's telling her what she sees on my body.
Okay.
And it's all gross.
Oh, wait, yeah. So let me see if I can spell it. Yeah. Y-E-E-E-L-C-H.
But she's got, like, these names for like, this bump on my nose or this thing on my back. But it's like this long-ass thing. This woman is just writing it down. And one time I said to her, you really know how to spell that.
Why are you
like,
a
dick? There's just no way you know how to spell that. There's just too many goddamn letters.
I love how there's people in that room trying to keep you from dying of cancer.
I questioned, are you faking it? Because, and by the way, she's doing it as, you know, your wife's saying it. She's writing it down as she says
They're
it.
They're very talented.
It's amazing.
Very talented.
It's like a court stenographer, you know, but even that stuff's like shorthand.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is shorthand in there, too.
No, she's like Legitsky, man, because I took a peek.
Oh, she's Polish?
I think she's a Polish girl. Nice girl.
Legitsky?
Yeah.
No, but why would you question the person trying to keep you from dying?
Because I get pissed off that I can't do that. Like, I can't type. I can't put a letter together.
Well, but that makes sense with your generation.
No, but if I was in prison, I'd go, all right. If you write a letter correctly, we won't give you the electric chair. I'm just going to sit in a chair, man. Hand me a cup of water. Let's get this over with.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Keith. Hey, Keith, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
So I was in the Scripps National Spelling Bee back when I was in elementary school. I'm 30 years old now, but quite the experience. I don't really talk about it all that much.
Because nobody cares, Keith.
Except that time.
Exactly. Interesting. It's a fun fact.
It is funny. It is funny, though. I don't really talk about it all that much, except the time I just called a radio show.
Asking.
Well, I mean, hey, when I hop on the radio in my car, and the first thing I hear is spelling bee, it kind of perks me up.
No, I get it.
Like, oh, yeah, man, we're speaking to you.
This is your rodeo. So, Keith, how far did you make it, and how old were you when you did it?
I was 13. Well, I was 12 years old. I was an alternate. And then when I was 13, I made it to pretty much all of Western New York, and I came in second place. The person I lost to.
Yeah, an Indian kid.
Actually, yeah, it was her.
Sanjay blew your ass out.
Yep.
No, I mean,
felt a lot better seeing her on TV going, oh, wow, I lost to that.
Keith, I love how you said you're an alternate, like just in case somebody blows an ACL while spelling.
So how smart is India, though?
Wait.
What do you mean?
Like, they win all these spelling bees. They come to this country. It's not their language, and they crush.
Okay, so if I'm sure, Keith, you've seen the documentary Spellbound after going through that?
I did not, actually.
All right, go sit down and watch it. It's great.
The one movie you could enjoy, you blow off.
So for those who haven't seen it, like Keith. Hey, Keith, thanks for the call, buddy. I really appreciate it. For those who haven't seen it, they follow four kids.
Okay.
You've seen it, right?
Yes.
Where, through like the beginning, it's like a kid in rural America, an Indian family.
It's like 4 points of America.
You got it. But what was interesting about the Indian thing, obviously, they're smart kids, right?
Right.
But I think it has less to do with intelligence and more to do, they work so hard.
They have a good work ethic.
Yes. It's like that. I mean,
not like your fat American lazy spelling.
Their training for the spelling bee is like what people put their kids through when they think their kid's going to be a professional athlete.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like
hours
a
day.
It's practice.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's dedication to that.
But that's
event.
Their thing, man.
Yeah, this couple, they were, you know, immigrant parents. Yeah. They came to America, and, like, they instilled in this kid, like, you are going to work hard, and you're going to be the most successful speller in America. And, I mean, it's remarkable to watch. I'd love to know what happened to those kids.
Insane pressure.
Doctor.
Well, that's what I was going to...
Or insane.
Insane doctor.
That's what I was going to ask Keith is, did that stick with you? Like, are you still
I'm sorry, I hung up on him too early.
Are you still a good speller as an adult, you know, or did you kind of, did it all go out the window? I mean, because you were learning words at 12 that I don't know if they stuck with you throughout the
rest
of your
life. But did it help you, like, in life? Like, are you, like, super rich? Are you, like, super successful? Or are you just a good speller?
Oh, he started that spelling company?
Yeah.
Called the Dictionary?
Yeah, look at that guy.
Okay, as we talk about this adult spelling bee that's being thrown out in... Sorry, Ontario County, Literacy Volunteers of Ontario County. If you're interested, just Google it. Like I said, it's a fundraiser. It's a good cause. I'm going to throw three scenarios at you guys. I'm going to start with Kimmy.
Okay.
You ready? Kimmy, right now, the body you're in, you have a chance at $1 million.
Okay.
Okay? You can either climb a 15-foot rope in gym class. You'd have to score at least a 95% on a test with questions about the job you do now and the right way to do your job. Or you have to win a 10-round spelling bee. Of those three, Kimmy, which gives you the best chance at $1 million?
I mean, I'd like to think that I know enough about the job I currently do to get it close to a 95%. So I think that's what I'm going to take my shot at, because I'm not even going to try with the rope.
All right, so if it's a 20-question test, you could miss one question. One question you could miss.
I think that's my best shot, because I'm not going 10 rounds in a spelling bee.
Because those are the three most pressure-packed situations as a kid, right? Rope and gym class, big test, spelling bee.
Yeah.
Of those three.
You know where I'm going, bro. Give me the rope.
No, there's no way you're climbing a 15-foot rope.
I was
rope
good
right
at
now.
The rope when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was good. You also also didn't have Leatherface. No, it's the body you're in now.
Yeah.
Did you not?
Oh, well, you're right.
How about fourth
right.
one? Listen to anything a guy who's staring at you says.
Well, then I got to do the job.
You can't.
I can't spell.
You can't pass it. You think you can pass a test about this job?
You just hurt yourself.
I think I shocked myself with my headphones.
But you're passing a test about the current job you have. And in Tommy's defense, I don't know what those questions about his particular job.
I would have to take the job. I can't spell. And if I'm too old for the rope.
What words could you not say on the radio?
Fail. you've done this 30 years.
Yes.
You do not know which words you cannot say on the radio.
Well, I kind of know.
No, you don't, because you keep getting dumped.
But it's a sliding scale. Whatever that means.
No, I'm kind of with Kimmy. I'm taking the test. And I don't even think I'm going to pass the test, but that's the only shot I have.
Yeah.
Because I can't spell, and there's no way I'm getting 15 feet up a rope right now.
You should be able to do the rope. You've been working. Oh, you're too big.
Yeah. Big people not good with ropes.
That used to piss off all the jocks.
The jocks. Okay.
They did, because I could get up that
Danny
rope.
Okay, Danny Zuko.
No, but all the Twinkies could get up that rope and no sweat. What?
I don't think that's what you...
There's many types of Twinkies.
Well, there's two.
Well, there's three.
No. We got Facebook.
Many twinks.
We got Facebook. No, that's even worse. Facebook messages coming in.
Don't Google that.
Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF at the Breakroom Facebook page. Ryan writes us, not my brother, Ryan. Mm. He says, spelling is the last true indicator of actual intelligence.
Oh, shut brown up.
Ryan goes on. He says, lots of people think they're smart, but being able to spell most likely means you read a lot and take your time while you're doing it.
You're patient.
Is that true?
I have no idea. I hate spellers. So you're telling me every rich person's a great speller?
Well, no, just because you're rich doesn't mean you're smart. You just might have had a good idea. It worked out.
All right.
Look, I mean, he does make a good point, right? Like, someone who sees words over and over while reading would probably be a better speller. And, I mean, there are, you know, several studies that tie intelligence to reading aptitude. No, right. Reading. You're not even listening. How can you read when you don't listen?
Well, I don't have retention when I read. That's why it takes me forever to read a book.
Okay. Oh, I get it. A lot of people struggle with that.
No, but, like, are you like that, too? I don't know.
If it's something I'm interested in, I'll hold it.
That is the only way I can nail it.
Same, yeah.
But it's stupid stuff that nobody cares about.
Well, like, in your defense, though, your head is so big that any words that go in there, they're just bouncing around, you know, bing.
Like, you ain't got a big, stupid head.
Like, I'm Irish, and we have big Irish heads, and you somehow have a bigger head than I do. It's a throbble head. Kimmy.
Yeah.
Ryan claims on Facebook, mm-hmm. you were on the phone,
yeah,
that spelling is the last true indicator of actual intelligence because it means you probably read a lot and take your time while you're doing it.
You probably have a pretty wide vocabulary, I'm guessing. Does that make you smarter?
That's what he's claiming.
You know more words than most people? I guess you can make that argument. Because if you talk to somebody and they sound intelligent, you're going to assume that they're smart people.
Yeah, but if they start sounding smart, they also sound condescending.
Condescending, but they still sound smart.
So, like, I had that. You remember my aunt was a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
A lawyer her whole life.
Yeah.
She was a smug sea bag of a New York woman. One of the worst Billy Joel songs of all time.
Some folks like to get away, take a holiday with my sea bag aunt.
But she had a dictionary out all the time, and she would look things up and write them down. But she would also point all that crap out.
Okay.
So, like, she was, like, flaunting her intelligence, which is a complete turnoff to people.
By the way, like, you learn one new word, and that's all you use for, like, a week straight.
But that's
not the same thing that you just described, except for Google tells you the word instead of looking it up in a dictionary.
I hate looking up.
And then he, like, uses the word, and if I go, what? He, like, oh, you don't know that word. You don't know that word. Kids got 19 learning disabilities. I'm going to judge you right now. And by the way, I understand that there are smart people who are smug dicks.
Yes.
But not all smart people are smug dicks. You just get, and I get it, man. I'm in the same boat you are. It can be easy when you know you're not a smart person to talk to a smart person and feel like they're talking down.
Right.
But I don't think most mean to.
No, but some do.
It would be more insulting if they started using words that, like, we use together in conversation. If you know someone's smart and they start dumbing it down.
I hate when people use my words. They know how to handle them.
What are you talking about?
Like, my wife doesn't know how to curse.
Yeah.
Because when she tries to curse, it goes, it just falls flat.
But those aren't your words.
Well, those are my words, not your words. Like, you got your words. I have my words. Don't be touching my words.
My words are over here in this box.
And I'm very good at swearing, man.
Oh, you are.
I'm like Pavarotti when it comes to cussing.
No, but, like, wouldn't that be off-putting, right? Like, if you...
Yes.
I'm trying to, like, you know, some... You break, I had lawyers because they curse a ton. Doctor.
Yeah.
Right? Surgeon. Comes in, very proper speaking. You hear him out in the lobby. Yeah. Woman out in the lobby, whatever. And then he or she comes in here and all of a sudden, hey, mother effer. That would be really off-putting.
It's super off-putting.
And I wouldn't like it.
No.
And I would think they're doing it just trying to make us feel more comfortable, which is insulting.
Stay in your lane, man.
So then what do you want?
Everything my way. Is that too much to ask?
No. Survive and advance.
Yes.
And then try and make it through a hungover Monday afterwards. Your Buffalo Bills, a 31-7 stomping of the Denver Broncos yesterday. The only not bright spots all day long were the first drive, which was not fun.
No.
And that stupid fake punt.
Yes.
Guy, hey, we talk about a fake punt in a commercial break. Your Buffalo Bills move on to take on the Baltimore Ravens. The game has been announced Sunday, 6:30 kickoff p.m. In Orchard Park on CBS. It'll be the Romo Nance team once again.
So game of the week.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, bro, you got the two MVP, best MVP candidates facing off against each other, which, by the way, fun fact, it's a regular season award, so this won't mean anything towards
the end.
So it's done. That being said, Tommy made some picks on Friday.
Yeah, buddy.
You're hanging out in the break room, watch just Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF, and it is now time to atone for those picks. You feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah?
All right, called it.
Yeah? Kimmy? Let's do this. Let's do this.
Tommy told it like it is. And now we find out how it was. Buley. Excuse post-game Monday in the break room on WCMF.
Let's get Tommy's first pick here in the break room on CMF. Tommy, over under 2.5 touchdown passes for Tommy.
If he catches one of his own passes, does it count?
Yes.
I have to ask that because that happened.
It's never going to happen again, but yes.
Of course I'm taking the over, man.
Okay.
This is like describing cake.
This is like describing cake.
It's delicious. Eat it. So the weather looks like it's going to be pretty
cold.
Cold, but not windy or crazy.
Yeah, wind will be good, clear.
It's going to be like 30 degrees.
Yeah, and 20% chance of snow.
So the weather will be no factor. So they can throw the ball.
Yeah. Yes. Over under 2.5 touchdown passes for Josh Allen.
Oh, I'm taking that over.
Okay.
It's going to be wild, baby.
You know what's funny? Before we get into your answer,
yeah.
There was no snow in the forecast, like little.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Orchard Park is the weirdest place
on
the planet.
It's a weird little island.
Because
it's
we
not
got
an island.
We got to the tailgate, and all of a sudden it started snowing at like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
And I was like,
no. If you're going that way, don't check the Buffalo weather. Yeah. Check specifically Orchard Park's weather.
All right, that being said,
what we got?
You were over 2.5 touchdown passes for Josh Allen.
But he's got it.
Josh Allen, 20 of 26, 272 yards. And two touchdown passes.
Wait, he's got three.
No, he had two.
So they had two rushing and two passing?
No, they had one rushing, two passing, three field goals, and a two-point conversion.
That's stupid.
Oh, no, a touchdown. That's a two-point conversion.
Wait, he got the two-point conversion.
That's not a touchdown.
It's kind of like a touchdown.
No, it is.
See, it looks like it.
Let me explain. A touchdown is worth 6 points.
Is it when they throw the ball and the guy catches it?
Yeah, he did that. He did that, yeah.
You can't give me that.
No, because it's not a touchdown.
That's kind of...
Not according to stats.
It's a junior touchdown.
Okay, but it wasn't two touchdowns and a junior touchdown. It was two. It's not a junior touchdown. A field goal's worth more. Field goal would be more of a junior touchdown than a two-point conversion, stupid. So,
you lose.
By the way, Josh carved him up. Carved them up yesterday. It's so funny. He throws for 272 and two touchdowns in a playoff game at home. Never at any point did you feel like Josh was not in control of that game.
But that's kind of how you felt with him all season.
But that's just it, Kimmy. Know? It's a ho-hum, almost 300-yard, two-touchdown pass game. Okay, whatever.
It wouldn't have been more that Matt Hollins didn't do that stupid move in the end zone, stepping over the guy.
Oh, right. Yeah,
that pushed him back, and I think they kicked a field goal on that one.
Oh, right? Maybe you should go yell at Mac Hollins. Did you call him Matt Hollins? You just called him Matt Hollins, didn't you?
What is it?
Mac, M-A-C-K.
Man, who cares?
Mac, he does. Probably his parents. They named him that.
Okay.
Just saying. By the way, also in Everybody Eats game, Kimmy, your touchdown catches come from your third running back in Ty Johnson on a 4th-and-1 from the 25 and Curtis Samuel on a 60-something yard touchdown.
I saw Josh had 8 different targets throughout the game, which is pretty impressive.
Everybody Eats, Tommy.
All right.
Except for you, because you're 0-for-1. But let's get to our second pick from Tommy on Friday here on CMF. Over under 1.5 a sack for Bills defensive end Greg Rousseau.
Well, he's got to feed that playoff dog, son.
Feed that playoff dog,
son.
So this Bo kid, he's a punk ass child.
Well, he's actually a little bit older than your average rookie.
Yeah, what, he spent 6 years in college, five, 6 years.
Yeah, where, Alabama,
Oregon. Where was he? Auburn.
I thought he was Alabama for some reason.
No,
I think Rousseau's going to do some Bo bashing. But he's getting him a sack. And maybe more.
Oh, you want to call 2 sacks?
No.
Oh, yeah. 2 sacks.
Oh, yeah.
You got Greg Rousseau getting 2 sacks.
It could get ugly. I think this game's going to get ugly.
Okay.
Ooh, it got ugly.
Okay, it did get ugly. Greg Rousseau's line yesterday, 2 tackles.
Ooh.
2 tackles for loss. Uh-huh. 1 sack. If you would have not been dumb.
No, but you cheated.
How did I cheat?
Because you, like, push.
You didn't have to take it. You bitch. I mean, you could have been a bitch.
And that was the only sack yesterday, right?
2 sacks. 2 sacks in the game. Mm-hmm. Got him twice. Both quarterbacks took 2 sacks in the game. Greg Rousseau got one of them, and I believe the other was... Doesn't matter.
All right.
But the bottom line is, Mr. Feeling Good About Everything.
I was pretty close on these picks, bro.
Yeah, that's how gambling works. You're always pretty close. That's why everyone's five-leg parlay ends at five. Right? You get four, then you miss on one. Hey, Mule post-game excuse Monday here in the break room on CMF. He is 0-2. What happened?
What happened? I listened to you two.
I did not. Okay. Let's get to it. It's okay. Our third pick from Tommy here in the break room on CMF. Over-under, 250 yards passing for Broncos quarterback Bo Nix.
Well, buddy mine always tells me that a West Coast team coming east, no good.
But that same buddy would argue that Denver is not far enough West Coast for it to affect them.
It's at the Rockies, for God's sakes. Yeah. And
Rockies O-line.
And the altitude's different, right?
It would actually be better for them to be playing.
Not necessarily. Yeah. People that are used to high altitudes struggle at sea level.
Is that it?
You just make that up?
No. It's the same way. It's a different atmosphere.
It's the same way, different atmosphere.
It messes with everything. He ain't getting no 250.
Look,
because if you're telling me this kid's a young Josh Allen, right?
Could be. I mean,
no, you're saying he kind of mirrors Josh Allen.
The way he played at that age.
Well, that means McDermott knows his style.
No.
And can get after this kid. He knows how Josh was back then and what his weaknesses are. So there's going to be some soft spots in baby Bo that Sean's going to get after.
Over under 250.
I'm taking under. How'd he do?
Bo Nix. 13 of 22.
Oh, he only got 13 of 22. Can't be much. Can't be much.
He only got 13. Yeah.
Are you trying to sound like an analyst? He only got 13 of 22 today. 13 of 22 and a touchdown on 144 yards passing. Wait, welcome to the winner's circle, buddy. Congratulations. Yay. They made that kid's life miserable yesterday, man. They confused him. They hit him. By the way, also the team's leading rusher, Bo Nix, despite the fact that he totaled 187 yards.
Wow.
So he was their leading rusher and obviously the leading passer. Right. 187 yards in total.
But he's running for his life.
That being said, he was. That being said, how nervous were you when he hit that deep touchdown pass on the first drive?
Oh, I told you, man. I said, man, this is going to this could be done.
Oh, I meant that he was going over 250.
Oh, yeah. That too.
Because, I mean, look, I like.
Well, I felt like you give that kid that boost of confidence early. I'm like, okay, this is the way this game's going to go.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be on fire.
And, like, I have fun watching.
The rookie showed up.
I have fun watching the kid, like, when he's not playing the Bills. I wish the best for him. Just
knowing. I wish the best for you, but not on my terms.
Thank you. All right.
My business doesn't interfere with your business.
1-2, you got a shot to get over 500 here.
All right.
Let's get to our fourth pick from Tommy here on CMF. Tommy, do the Bills win? And if so, is it by more than 9 points?
Well, I'm thinking the Bills are going to win, obviously.
Crushed. Okay, gotcha.
But then after that, farther afield, Pat.
Farther of
what are we looking at?
Get out of my effing face. Well, no, we're looking at 9 points. They would have to win by nine or more to cover.
I think they're going to cover those 9 points.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So maybe just a sea hair more.
So it'll be a close game?
Oh, no.
What's a sea hair, Tommy? What's a sea hair?
Mile high. Kiss your ass goodbye. Bills. Wild card. Blowout. It was the biggest blowout of the weekend.
Blew.
But
he's talking over himself.
I go on for
kidding.
I just run my mouth for so long.
Were you getting annoyed at your own rant?
Yes.
Shut up, me.
The only man who gets bored by himself. Think how America feels.
But they scored the most points of any team all weekend. Nobody else hit 30 points.
No, that's not true. The Ravens hit 30.
No, they had 28.
Oh, you're right.
So they were the highest scoring team all weekend.
That
was the biggest blowout of the weekend.
What was Saturday? Was this?
No, because I think the Ravens game was like 28-14.
I thought the Ravens hit 30. Yeah, you're right. 28-14. No, Houston scored 32. So you're dumb. But it was the widest margin of victory.
Okay.
So congratulations on that.
So they crushed.
Yeah. All right.
So I called a blowout.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, you nailed it. That was a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
This one will put you over the top.
And Tony Romo said that my thinking was the correct thing.
Hold on. Here comes
Tony Romo said? I must have missed that name drop.
Pittsford woman. Tony Romo said that my thinking. Let's get to our fourth pick from Tommy here on CMF.
You mean the bonus?
Bonus pick. I'm sorry. I'm so hungover right now.
I'm just double checking.
My wife is waiting outside the studio with Pedialyte because she loves me and she doesn't want me to die. And Tommy got a latte.
Oh, what do I owe you? What?
What
do I owe you?
$7.
Okay.
Give it to me.
I'll give you the $7.
You know I'm taking your money.
You don't think I got it.
You're such a dick. I know you ain't got it. I'll call your wife if I need the money. Let's get to Tommy's bonus pick. I'm sorry, here on CMF.
Duffy, not so fast. wild card buddy. So I predict.
He just looked off to the right. He does nothing. He is unprepared.
I am. No, I am.
Look at you. You see it? If you're watching live
stream. If you're betting.
You knew this was coming.
This is a rocking chair bet.
Shut up, man.
This is a rocking chair.
Do not take this man's gambling advice.
If you've got stuff to do in the fourth quarter, go do it because it won't matter.
How much will it not matter? Will it not matter enough where Josh Allen comes out of the game?
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you know it won't matter.
Yeah. Okay, so your bonus pick.
At one point in the fourth quarter, Josh will be had on. Laughing, high-fiving on the side.
Oh, no, you said the fourth quarter won't matter.
We're going to get a Trubisky.
It won't matter. I'm saying he'll have his hat on. So
we're going to get a Trubisky fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
So wait, so that means...
Mitch the bitch will be on the field in the fourth quarter.
If the fourth quarter doesn't matter, that means Josh will not be taking a snap in the fourth quarter.
Oh, you want me to say it's not... He doesn't play the fourth quarter?
Oh, no, I'm asking what your prediction is. Yeah. No,
well, I just said it, but you keep pushing me.
Because if the Bills are up 14 with 3 minutes to go because they scored on their last drive and Mitch comes in and takes a knee, you're going to go, see, and that's not what you're predicting. How many snaps does Mitchell Trubisky get in relief of Josh Allen because they're out of hand?
Well, how many snaps does Josh get in the fourth quarter?
No, I want a Mitch snap count.
You want a Mitch snap?
I want a Mitch snap.
More or less than 50% of the snaps in the fourth quarter.
He'll get more than 50% of the snaps.
Okay, you can go find that stat because I ain't doing
that. All right, you know what? I'll make it easy on you.
By the end of the game, if
Josh doesn't play the fourth quarter. There you go.
You took it too far.
And Tony Romo said they should have set him down because he was getting banged up. His hand was all tore up. They said, why is he still in this game?
Not going in the first play of the fourth quarter is when they took the 3-touchdown lead. It was only a 2-touchdown lead until into the fourth quarter.
You had to play him in the fourth quarter.
But later in the fourth quarter.
Fine, but you still would have lost, stupid.
But because you push and push and push.
You still would have lost anyway. Because you don't make up. No, your bonus picks have become like the most vague blob picks ever, trying to like steal.
Wait till you see this one next week.
I know you're not prepared. Bro, you're never prepared.
I am prepared.